Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vestoria Board of Commissioners meeting. Workshop session. We will the meeting to order 4 p.m. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spencer, absent. Commissioner Rohn.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
To begin, we do have an addition to the agenda. Dr. Rison.
The commissioners in front of you, you have a copy of the packet. For the 2025 PNWA mission to Washington, D.C. This is a trip that Matt and I have gone on for a couple years now. And I think there's a real benefit in having the Port of Vestoria have a presence there, whether it's the work that we do on the Hill and meeting with the Northwest delegation of representatives and senators. Meetings that we have had with various agencies. I think there's a real benefit in this. The reason it's coming to you late and for approval tonight is so that we can get registered and get all of the travel plans set up, and especially with the hotel, it tends to fill up quickly. So the earlier we can get in and get that done, the better. Seeing as this is our last meeting of the year, I thought it's probably a non-controversial issue to stick on the agenda.
So won't make this an action item? We can make it the action item A and then change everything else down the line.
Okay.
We can make it an action item B.
Okay. Or we can make an action item F and skip one. What do you want to do with whatever the commissioner wants?
I'm going to make an action item B.
We'll make it action item B. Anyone opposed? Okay, well, the action item B. Public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission regarding any topic. Any person wishing to speak must fill out public comment form and forms. Okay. On our way to action item, A, additional update to personnel policies. Director Rison.
Thank you, Commissioner. So on page 3 of your packet, you have a redline version of the proposed change. The commission recalls at our last meeting, Melanie was here and had introduced the new personnel policies that were then approved at that meeting by the Port Commission. Since that time, there was a question that came up in the language, and if you look at the red line portion that's crossed out, there was an omission here that did not include siblings as part of the bereavement policy. And so what Melanie decided to do, rather than just add to the definition, is just include a line that the family member definition will just fall under Oregon Family Leave Act. So that makes it much simpler, and then if that were to change, then our policy would change to match OFLA. There's also, and we already kind of do this, but this made it a policy that for spouses, parents, or children, an additional 2 days of leave could be granted. And then the last part of that paragraph gives some discretion for management in special cases. Obviously, this is something that it's hard to regulate through a policy when somebody close to an employee passes away. And so we do want to have some discretion in there for those relationships that maybe are not properly defined to where, you know, we could offer them some time off. So Melanie had asked that I include this in the packet to clarify for the definition following the Oregon Family Leave Act, and then additionally to have discretion of management and special cases.
Okay, so we need action by the commission to approve this.
I will be approved the page of the personnel policies, bereavement leave, I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We have a unanimous approval. Next item, which is still item B, is the TDOT power upgrade extension with Wells Electric Direct Crossing.
Thank you, Commissioner. So on page four of your packet, there's a copy of the RFP to approve Wells Electric for the completion of the TDOT power in the West Basin Marina. The commission recalls phase one of this project. We had gone out for bid and had awarded that bid to Wells Electric for the completion of the first phase. And so this is the completion of that project out on TDOT. With this, because Wells had completed the first phase and it was his design, it did not require a bidding process, and it made sense just to move forward with him since he had done the first half of the project. This was in the budget for $85,000, so it is a budgeted item. The total cost is going to overrun a little bit. The total is going to be $110,000. And so we're taking this to the commission because that $110,000 is more than the budget and then would then exceed my spending authority. So we are asking the commission to approve this contract, which is underway with Wells Electric for the completion of power. And we have our head of maintenance, Joe Teddy, here today as well, if the commission had any specific questions about the project.
Since Joe is here, you want to talk to us about that and how it's going and how you see it?
Began the project back in August, September, the last second phase of it to finish TDOT, get power up to all the slips and along the walkway for marina tenants. Project obviously is taking some time to complete, and through the course of that project, we had some material price increases that we've seen exceed our budgeted project. We are at the last phase where we're just ready to land the wiring. Most of the materials have been purchased. We just need to finish landing the wires, the wiring from the junction boxes to the pedestals, and we're ready to light everything up for the end. So we're pretty close, but obviously we ran into some cost overruns on the problem.
You know what cost overruns are? What materials cost more?
The wire, mostly.
Copper.
Copper. Yeah, copper wire. We had to buy some, large chunks of copper wire that had some material, had some price increases throughout the project. That's it. The biggest portion of the project is done, and all the materials have been purchased. It's going to take a little bit more later.
When do you forecast completion?
Right after the first year, we hope to, weather permitting.
Sure.
Everything, you got electricity all the way to the boat suit. Responder?
Yes, we do.
And that's you're going to go from there and around the corner, right?
Yeah.
This completion will be around the corner to the end.
Yeah, it'll serve the north end of the Canada.
I do have friend who has a boat around the corner, and he's pretty enthusiastic about the prospect of having power to the boat.
Yeah, we're close and ready to finish it up.
It's exciting to about be there because this has been a project that seemed like every year it was on the budget list, and then we had to tell Janice, well, we had to axe it off before the budget committee because there were other needs, and so to be able to finally get that done, I know she's been waiting for that for a long time. 15 years now.
Further questions?
Need a motion?
I need a motion, yes, sir.
I make a motion we approve $110,000 for that, correct?
Yeah. To provide TDOT shore power connections from the veterans and West Basin Marina.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous approval. Thanks for coming by, Joe.
Thank you.
Item C, East Boring Basin Dredging.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think I want to look at page 6 of the packet. It's one of the questions that's coming here for the East Boring Basin. A couple of prefaces to this. So we wanted to get this dredging done this year, but we're not able to because of some permitting struggles with the city of Astoria and DLCB related to the discharge location. So the city's having to work on their own code to allow discharge in locations that have been dredging okay. Now we have to get a conditional use approval, so they're still working through that code, and we're not going to have that straightened out until after our dredge season. So that said, we went out for bid for dredging here earlier this year. Ended up getting three different bids, one from Ferguson Construction, as you'll see on page 7 of your packet, for $762,745, another from JF Iron for over $1.5 million, and another from the Dutcher Group for over $2 million. So this is for dredging 35,000 cubic yards from the east side of the east base. This is primarily to get the boat ramp cleaned out and to make sure that we still have access to the boat ramp. We are able to engage in this contract, and we've already cleared this with council, but because this was a contract that was bid on by Ferguson this year, the only way that we would be able to maintain the contract for next year's price is if they would be able to agree to do next year's work at this year's price. So Greg has agreed to that, Ferguson has agreed to that, so what we're looking for from the commission is approval to dredge for $762,745 to remove 35,000 cubic yards at the East Basin beginning November of 2025.
I have a question. Is there any funding available from the Oregon State Marine Board, or are you at funding? Or
Oregon State Marine Board does not handle the maintenance of dredging units. Anyway, unfortunately.
That's an awful lot of money. That's $22 a yard. And we really aren't getting any revenue out of that other than parking.
That wasn't Ferguson $15 a square yard?
Yeah. Break the mold on that. $22 a yard.
Yeah. He's doing it for $15.
Yeah.
They're doing it for half a lot. Another JF Iron there, one of the key funds where there's a struggling a lot of this population.
15?
22 million. The number you ran to look at. I'm going to keep the motivation.
That's what Ferguson says, though, on their bids.
Yeah. Will we approve the bid for that dredging?
It's on page 15.
For the amount of $762,745.
On page 15 and breaks it down to what the price per cubic yard.
So there is a motion.
There is a motion on the floor.
Well, I move that we have a motion on the floor.
You do have a motion.
Yeah, you did.
Second.
Yeah, motion and a second. Further discussion. Page 15, I think, is operative. The question the cost per cubic yard. Item number 2.
So we're able to move this into next year.
We are.
In other words, we can move it a year away as far as that goes.
Correct. We're relying on the goodwill of Ferguson Construction.
I agree.
Not to charge twice as much when they know they could.
Yeah.
Or quite a lot more.
Yeah, and being able to lock in 2024 prices for next year is, I don't think it's
small ass. It'll be cheaper next year. Fuel's going to come down, I guarantee you. That's the big issue.
Write a check. Yeah.
Further discussion.
Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And unanimous approval. Tom Lube to commission comment. Mr. Campbell.
Windy outside. That's all I have.
Well, that's good for those that live in this Minnesota.
Okay, Mr. Rowe.
I don't have anything to add.
Commissioner Spence is absent. Commissioner Hill.
I unfortunately missed the Christmas party. Does anybody have any comments on that?
Oh, we all talked about it. It wasn't good either.
Yeah. It was very nice. I don't doubt it. Slightly remiss.
A good time was had by all.
Thank you for the staff for putting that on. We are a unique organization. I think, you know, whether you're on a volunteer fire department or on a port, that story, I think it's good that it's kind of a celebration of the staff just working together in whatever limited capacity with others.
Absolutely. Very appropriate comments. I only have one thing to add, and that is that I noted that commercial crabbing is now open in Oregon, but it's kind of east south of Cape Falcon. You're not aware, Cape Falcon is south of our state, off the bottom of those parks, so I think our locals could be able to go out and crab. You know, I have to go all the way to California to do it. That concludes my comments. Executive Director comments.
The commission, we do need to circle back for the added agenda.
Oh, you're right. Item D, the road made me put in. Yeah.
Also,
yeah, D. Add agenda item. Washington, D.C., Pacific Northwest ports. So this requires commission approval. We already heard from our director. Do we have any questions for the director further?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the past, I know we used to go to all of them, but we used to take and provide orders from our great seafood that comes in to ask stories from Josephson's. Really a good thing for now, as far as public relations is concerned back here. If we could put something like that together, it'd be nice to have it sent back and have it for your get together.
So I agree. So what Commissioner Campbell is referring to, and I think they've just always done it, but one of the evenings, the PNWA put an event called Taste of the Northwest, and they get a lot of donations from their members. I know, I think last year Bornstein donated, although I think it may have been on behalf of the Port of Newport. I don't even know if our name is on there, but we could set something like that. It was a big event. They get a huge turnout, and they get, you know, a lot of agency folks, legislative staffers. So it's kind of the marquee evening event of the week. So we can get something and maybe get the port's name out of this year.
Okay, that's a good gesture. And we used to do that, and only we made a big get it on the top people.
Yep.
Good idea.
How many people would you like to have?
They're traveling?
Yeah.
So what we've done the last couple of years is Matt and I have gone, and it's actually, so most ports bring at least a couple folks with them. Because they pack a lot of things into these 4 days, and they'll be overlapped to where there's different things going on. And so, like last year, for instance, Matt spent more time with some of the federal agencies. So I think one evening he was meeting with the Corps, and I was working on the legislative side, and an event that our federal lobbyist was putting on and some of the caucus events for ports. And so I think it's beneficial to have two of us there. It's kind of a divide and conquer. And then we typically both go to like the, they have a full day where we're on Capitol Hill meeting with representatives from the Northwest House delegation, and that's kind of a full day event. And then usually the following day we meet with the senators from Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And so I think, and PNWA does a pretty good job of setting all this up. Last year I was fortunate enough to be assigned to Congresswoman Bonamici and to be her host and to welcome her, to give kind of the opening comments and then moderate the discussion between the group and the Congresswoman. So I think that was a good opportunity. So I think it's worked well how we've done it. Usually both Matt and I, after we've been in DC for a couple of days, we're ready to go home. But it's one of these that I quite honestly don't like to travel, but I think this is one event that there is real benefit from the port to have a representation there. And be able to, you know, set up some meetings. I've actually already got some emails asking what day we were going to be there from the assistant of our federal lobbyist, because they're setting up some meetings with various agencies. So there tends to be some commonalities between ports on different issues that they're having. And so they kind of broker those meetings, and then the ports who are impacted by a particular agency are welcome to attend those meetings.
Is there any intention to take a carrot and stick with you to visit the customs work group people?
Yeah, so we are hoping to get a chance to meet with those folks. They've actually moved the event. They for years, I think they had it at the same venue, and it moved this year. The venue they had it out last year was quite expensive, so actually Matt and I stayed a couple blocks away at a hotel that was much cheaper and just walked over. But I think the Marriott they're having it this year is a lot more reasonable. So we'll probably get the hotel there, and I'm cheap, so for the cheapest flight that doesn't send us on three layovers or something. But so I'm not sure if we'll end up flying out Sunday night or Monday morning. We'll kind of look at what flights are.
Okay. Any more questions for the director? We need approval for the director plus one. There a motion?
I'm so moved.
Approval for the director plus one to attend the 2025 mission in Washington with the Pacific Northwest Ports Association. I'll second. Motion and a second. Further discussion? Very well. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we already had commission comments when I jumped an item. So we're due for executive director comments now.
I have a few updates. Yesterday had a series of meetings. It felt like it was meeting after meeting after meeting. But the first group that we had in here was regarding the situation with CBP, with customs, and the processing of passengers. And so we were fortunate, actually, from the PNWA, Dina Horton was here in Astoria, and we solicited their help in dealing with this issue, just because they kind of cast a pretty wide net and have a pretty good lobby. And so she helped coordinate this, but we had representatives on the Zoom call from both White's office and Merkley's office, so Reed Armitage and Gustavo Guerrero. We had a field representative from Bonamici's office was here at the port. And then, of course, Dina from the PNWA and then Bruce Connor was part of that as well. And so we were able to put together a nice packet of information for those folks and really describe what has happened over the last year or so. Obviously, Bonamici's group was much more informed, just because we had had that discussion with the congresswoman directly over the summer. And so they've already been doing some work on it. And so they were kind of throwing around some ideas for how we can attack this both in the short and long term. Espen, who's part of the Congresswoman's office, has done some legwork to find some other ports on the East Coast, I guess, that are in a similar situation. And so Espen's working on getting us in contact with their port administrations to see how they're handling it. They're also looking at some grant opportunities that may be available, which, you know, I guess in the short term is a win. However, if there's long-term operating costs, we have to eat. It's very hard to find a grant that's going to pay for that every year.
It's kind of a mandate.
Yeah, and then so that's kind of a short-term deal. And then longer term, they started kind of discussing some legislative efforts that could happen. And what we really pushed on actually was that the letter we had received from CBP outlines the fact that, you know, in the local district here, there's only 3 full-time employees. And so when we have the larger vessels that are requiring processing because they're coming from Victoria, that in order to bring additional agents from the office at the Port of Portland, that due to conflicting schedules and what they called mandatory requirements for those employees for the Port of Portland, they can't guarantee that they can bring those folks out here, even if we were to pay for them. And so that becomes an even bigger issue, and that there's, you know, even if we were to agree and say, okay, we'll pay for it, there's no guarantees that they can even get out here. And so what I'm trying to get across to the legislative offices is how exactly are we defining mandatory duties? Like why is it that these assignments at the Port of Portland are considered mandatory, but what we have here at Astoria doesn't seem to be considered mandatory at all? And additionally, they're asking us to fund the equipment costs that they need. And so I think there was a good consensus that this is an issue, and that it does not seem right for a small district like the Port of Astoria to have to fund a portion of CBP's operating costs. So it was a good discussion. We had a fairly lengthy meeting, and again, had discussed some different solutions for different time frames. They're going to work together to get a real push on this. And Espen told me that I can get a hold of him as much as I want, and he would not mind. So I'm going to be pestering him all the time now about where we are on this. Because they've decided that between the three of them, they're going to take the lead, and actually they're looking to partner. He's hoping to get, because those are all D's, they would like to get a Republican in a different state that has a port dealing with the same issues. So they're looking at maybe Texas, Louisiana, that they could partner so that we have potentially a bipartisan bill that could help us out here.
That's a good report. Thank you.
How many ships do you think we lost because of the confusion there?
Half a dozen.
Yeah, so currently what we've had 4 cancellations, and then 5 in the future. We've already lost out, I think, on 4, and then 5 in the future that have canceled. And the bummer is these are our most profitable ships. They're the largest ships, which is why they're canceling, because of the number of passengers, and just we can't turn them out quick enough. And when they're here for 8 or 9 hours, and it's taking 6 hours to get everybody processed, well, now you've missed your tour, you don't have time to go anywhere, and you're getting right back on the ship, and then the cruise lines get complaints.
Yeah, I don't know why they can't do it on the cruise ship.
There's got to be a better way, you know.
It's absurd that
they wait.
Talking about all the technology that's available, and they can't apparently, you know, it's like, you don't ride a horse to Portland, call somebody up. So why are we riding a horse to Astoria?
I think if we look,
there ought to be a digital solution that, or roll things back to where they were, or.
If we look, I'm sure that there are several federal agents out that I understaff by their calculation and could use some assistance in conducting their routine duties. And this one, Customs, has determined that they want to charge the people that they serve for their own shortfalls, and that's just not reasonable.
In addition, Henry Armitage actually brought this up from Wyden's office. You know, it's not uncommon to have these federal unfunded mandates, but what's uncommon is for this unfunded mandate to so directly impact single agencies like this
exactly.
Doing for the port.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Maybe it's hopefully this is something you can fix when you go to your Washington.
Yeah, I agree.
So just a couple other things. We did a couple weeks ago have our submission deadline for the hotel development and fishing village that's part of our waterfront master plan at the West Basin. We got 9 total respondents, which was good. Of course, there's varying levels of some of the respondents. We're looking at, well, we can develop the whole thing. Others maybe were just interested in pieces, whether it's a hotel, fish market, that kind of thing. So we spent some time kind of going through the first phase of reviewing what came in and planning on doing interviews here in a few weeks. And that was something I had talked about with Commissioner Stevens, but we had talked about early in the process of assigning two commissioners to be a part of that interview committee. So we have a little bit of time with that, but just so you know where we are in the process, we did get some respondents, and quite frankly, I think some really quality proposals that were put forth. And so I think the future is bright in terms of that project, and the types of interest we got was I think exceeded what we were hoping for.
And we talked about an industry person as well.
Yeah, David Reed's name had come up, who's the director of the Chamber of Commerce.
No, that would make a three-person committee.
Yeah, well, then you would also have staff members, so
okay, so we'll keep it fairly small. That's
correct.
We need to review the people who responded to take over our hotel project with the Riverwalk Hotel. And I will get out an email to the commissioners on who would like to volunteer.
Can we get a list of who are interested?
Yeah, so I can get you a list of respondents. So what this process would be, this would be the interview process.
Yeah. And we do know that the present lease owner is one of the respondents.
I can confirm that, yes.
Yeah, so all right. Oops.
Just a couple other things, and Matt, you may want to talk more about this, but I put a copy of a letter, I don't think it's been shared with the commission, from NOAA regarding their experience at the airport and the hospital service that they had received. They were very pleased with, so I wanted to share that with the commission. Did you have anything to add to that?
No, it's just a shout out to the guys out there. They've been really focused on service and bringing folks back, and so they've been treating them with a lot of hospitality, and so the letter that NOAA provided to us is for all the residents.
Right,
before I come back.
Yeah. Although he's not here, I do want to thank Commissioner Spence. He had ordered up, I don't know how many boxes of fruit and chocolate that he had dropped off for staff as a thank you, kind of a holiday gift. So that was very thoughtful of him.
This was from Spence? No.
I don't know what's not from Spence.
Oh,
that's my last comment. So, that's a separate deal. Commissioner Spence had dropped that off for staff members to share in. And then last thing is that our year-end port swag is here. So hopefully you've all got your shirts from Deanna. That concludes my report.
Have upcoming meeting dates in 2025, regular session on January 7th, and workshop session January 21st, both at 1 p.m. This concludes our last meeting of the year. Call the meeting adjourned.